Let's take our Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4 this morning again, and we'll welcome you. We're so glad you're here today. We'll have a song, and then we'll get into the message. Galatians 4, in verse number 1, we'll read down through verse 7. Galatians 4, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for what it means to us. Lord, I pray you'll please speak to our hearts in the moments that we have together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated.
Times I've let God down, I am humbled by the grace he has extended. I'm amazed by the mercy I have found. I could never earn God's love on my own, yet every time I come before his throne, I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I am. When he looks at me, he sees the nail-scarred hands that bought my liberty. I stand. I am unworthy. I have nothing a precious I can give. A broken life is all I have to offer, and yet it is a precious gift to give. The bitter mark of sin will never fade.
Have you ever had a life-changing event? Maybe it was a near miss in an accident that could have taken your life. Or perhaps maybe it was a tragedy or maybe a discouraging time. Maybe perhaps it was something that happened to somebody else. You know, the shepherds, when they were out in the fields in the Galilean hills, they were tending to their sheep. They had a life-changing experience. And we read about that in the book of Galatians. We read about the fact that there was a child that came 2,000 years ago that changed people's lives forever. And this morning, as we gather here on this December 9th, 2012, I want you to think about, and I want to preach on the subject, the gift of a changed life. You know, today, when you come in contact with Jesus Christ, He changes your life. He makes all the difference in the world. You perhaps may not have realized, but when you open the Bible and you read into the Bible what God wants us to understand, being a Christian is the most powerful and wonderful experience on the planet. Knowing Christ, who has changed my life, is such a blessing. And I'm here to tell you today, I love being a Christian. I love knowing Christ. I love the fact that He's worked in my life, that He's changed me. Now, I'm not all that I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. And I'm very thankful today that God has done that in my life. And I want you to know that maybe you've come here today and you might be honest enough to say, you know, I need my life changed. I want to tell you, you can have that same gift too. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. I want you to begin and notice with me that God shows us how our lives can be changed. And as I begin to preach this message, I want you to get this, that this is not like a step. This is what all happens at once when you meet Christ. Because once it happens, it's amazing what God does. Honestly, when I trusted Christ as my personal Savior on October 22nd, 1972, I did not realize all that God was going to do. But one thing I did find out, the moment I left out of that church service, my life was changed and I could not get over it. And when your life is changed by Jesus Christ, you will not get over it. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, when He came to Bethlehem, He came to change the world, but more important of all, to change the lives of every person who will ever live. And I'm so glad today to tell you that He can change your life too. I want you to notice there are three aspects of this change. How does that occur? I mean, is it the fact that I come and decide that I'm going to be a better person? Or perhaps it's the fact that I've turned a new leaf over in my life? Or maybe it's the fact that I join a church? Or maybe it could be the fact that I get baptized? It's none of those things. It's none of those things. Those things may come as a consequence of having a changed life, but that's not what changes our life. What we find is found in the first part in verse one through three. I want you to notice we must have an acceptance of the Son. We must have the acceptance of the Son. Who is this Son? Well, Jesus is not simply a man. He's the God-man. He's not simply a great teacher or a prophet that we read about in a book called the Bible. But He is the very Son of God. And it's so important to realize that, but I want you to notice something about the Son. Look at verse number 4 very carefully with me. Notice what it says. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son." Number one, write this one down. This Son had a mission. He had a mission. God sent His Son. Jesus didn't come of His own accord, but He had a mission. He had a purpose. God had a plan for Him to come. The word sent is an interesting word. It's the same word that we get from understanding what it means to be an ambassador. Ambassadors are people who are selected by the government. They're sent to another country to bear the news of that country they're sent from. And what God did is that God gave Jesus a mission and sent him to this planet from heaven to give you and I this message from God. Amen. That's what it's about. And so the moment that he came to this earth, he came sent from God at the right time. That time was a perfect time that God sent him with this mission. And we need to know what that mission is, because that mission is personal. This is not something that we read about and say, well, you know, that's great for the pastor and the deacons, or that's great for perhaps maybe somebody else, but that's not for me. Oh, no, that mission is for you too. Because we understand that through this sending of the Son, it is so personal that as a sent one, he comes with the message, and that message is that we can receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. He's the Savior of the world. Now, what's really interesting about this fullness of time, it's so, so important. If you go back into verses 1 to 3, you will find that it's talking about the age. And what is that? And what is so important about the age? Well, just sort of a biblical note for you. When you read that, you kind of wonder, what does God mean by all of this? What he's simply saying is, in the ancient world, in Roman fathers would determine at what point their children, who were men, who were boys, became men. He made that choice. For some, it might be 11. For some, it might be 8. For some, it might be 14. Whatever he chose to give that maturity level and that age. Now, that was significant, because once he chose that age and that young man reached that age, he was no longer now under the guidance of a servant. He was now a full son with all the rights that was given to him as a son. And what God is saying is that Jesus had all the full rights to heaven, and God sent his son at the right time, in the right, with the right privileges, and that you and I can benefit from the privilege of heaven. What a blessing. You talking about a gift. There's no gift you can buy that can ever top that. In fact, I will tell you this about this gift. This gift didn't cost you anything, but it cost God everything. And what God is saying is that by through accepting Jesus Christ today as the gift of eternal life, what he's done is he's come with this mission so that you can know him. This mission is worldwide. God not only wants you to know him and accept him, but God wants everybody to accept him. Because this is God incarnated. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23 says it like this: Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. But there's one more thought I want to give you before we move beyond that, and that is, not only did he come with the mission, but he fulfilled or completed the mission. Aren't you glad that people finish what they're supposed to be finishing? Amen? I don't want to even ask, but I guarantee you, all of us probably in this room have some unfinished project along the way. Maybe at work, maybe at home, maybe it's a garage, maybe it's a bedroom, maybe it's a house, maybe it's something that you've been trying to get accomplished and you've never done it. Or you started it but didn't finish it. It could be even a puzzle. But let me tell you this. This had to be finished for you and I to know him. Jesus Christ didn't just come, and the babe in Bethlehem's manger wasn't just about a baby that came. This babe in Bethlehem's manger came to do what God had sent him to do. And the message in this is that Jesus Christ came as the perfect born Son of God. And according to the scriptures, the Bible said that he was born under the law, meant that he kept all of the Old Testament law, because the truth matter is you and I can't keep the law. We're not good enough to keep the law. That's why Christ came. He completed the mission by dying on the cross for our sins. And thank God he did. But the Galatians were all confused because they thought somehow or another that, you know, that they're able to keep the law. We can't keep the law. Jesus completed and fulfilled the law. And by understanding this very important truth, we understand this, that by accepting Christ, we've accepted the mission of what he did for me. How do I do that? The Bible says in John 1 verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that means the moment that I received Jesus Christ, the very first part of my changed life starts when I accept him as my Savior. And I don't know where you are today, but if you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, you can do that today. And that's not, we're not saying that by accepting him, that means you become a member of the church and all of that. And yet, you know, that would be a byproduct of that. I think that would be great if you did. But what it means is simply this, that salvation is not by something you do, it's by who you received. And that's the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Have you done that today? Have you trusted him? If you've not done that, that's the starting place. But there's another aspect of this. I want you to notice, if we're talking about the gift of a changed life, we said, number one, it's through the acceptance of the Son. Number two, look at this, is through the work of the Son. It's through the work of the Son. Verse number five. Did you notice the Bible said to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons? The word redeemed. We have a song we sing, Redeemed, I Love to Proclaim It. We heard the songs of redemption. We heard Brother Greg, he was singing about redemption. Our choir was singing about redemption. And you might be sitting here saying, what is all this redemption about? Well, here's how it works. In the ancient world, they had slaves, and slaves were sold on the marketplace. And if you were sold into slavery, you had to have some way to pay the price to get you out of slavery. And what they would do is they would go down and a buyer would come down and he would offer to buy a slave and he would pay the price to free the slave from the owner, from the previous owner. And what this simply means is that when he was free, he redeemed him from slavery. And what this is saying to us is that you and I, we're sinners. We're imperfect. We're sold under sin. We're under the bondage of sin. We cannot take care of our own sin. I'm a slave to it. And Jesus Christ came. And here's what he did. He paid for the penalty of my sin.
Amen.
He freed me from my sin. So redemption is purchasing the freedom of somebody else. And what Jesus did was his work was that he freed us from the penalty of sin. Aren't you glad that he freed us from the penalty of sin? You say, what is the penalty of sin? The Bible says that when we die, we're all going to go somewhere forever. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And the Bible said that the penalty of sin is we're going to die and go to hell. But Jesus Christ paid the price that we don't have to be a slave to go to hell. We can go to heaven through Jesus. And that's his work, through the work of the Son. Now, let's analyze this, just this work and how it operates. I want you to look at a couple of thoughts. Number one, it involves a substitutionary death. A substitutionary death. Though you and I are sinners and we're guilty, what Jesus Christ said was, I'm going to go, and my mission is, I'm going to go to heaven, or go to earth, and I'm going to go die in the place of every sinner. Every one of us. So, in other words, when Jesus hung on the cross, bleeding and dying for my sin, suspended between heaven and earth for 6 hours, what Jesus was doing was, he was representing me on the cross. He was taking all that I was. He was taking everything that I am, all of my sin, and all of the guilt of sin, and all the penalty of sin. He was taking it all on his back, and he was there dying for me in my place. Christ was my substitute. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3, if you jump back over to verse number 13 of chapter 3, he mentions that. And he shows us what it means that him dying in 3:13, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. In other words, Christ died and paid the price for me as a substitutionary death in my place. But it involved not only a substitutionary death, but involved a sacrificial death. And what I mean by that is this, that he shed his blood for me. What's the price of sin? It's the blood of Jesus Christ that paid for it. Let me show you. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 with me. Are you doing okay? Everybody doing okay? 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's go over there real quick, because Peter says it very well so we can understand what he's saying and get how this works. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 18. Watch this. This is redemption. We're talking about redemption. We're talking about the work of God. We're talking about the fact that Jesus Christ, through the work of the Son, took care of us so that we can have a changed life. I can't change my life, but Jesus Christ can change my life. How does he do that? Well, we accept him. And then through this, we accept also the work of the Son. And we look at that in 1 Peter 1, verse 18. Notice what it says. It says, for as much as you were not, what's that next word? Redeemed. Can we say that together? Redeemed. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Now, what are corruptible things? Well, he tells us what they are. All right, look what he says. He says, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers. Now, here's what he's saying. He says, look, if you want to try to pay for your sin, you can't pay for your sin with your money. Every now and then I have people that come to church and I think they confuse that. They think something like this. Well, the offering plate comes around. Okay, here, I'm buying my freedom. As I put money in the offering, that's going to take care of me. In fact, when I get to heaven, I'm going to say to God, God, I gave some money. Isn't that good enough? And they're going to get me there? And God says, oh, no. You're not redeemed by corruptible things of silver and gold. You're not redeemed with money. Your money can't buy it. Bring all the silver you want. Bring all the gold you want. By the way, gold is $1,700 an ounce now. I was thinking about investing in gold. What do I do? Buy an ounce a year? And that's making payments. Amen. But God says you can't, you're not going to buy your eternal life. You're not going to be redeemed. You're not redeemed by the money that you can do to buy your way into heaven. You can't do it. But notice what he says in verse 19. He says, here's how you do it. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's why Jesus Christ had to be perfect. That's why he came to this earth as the sinless Lamb of God. That's why he died. Because if he was a sinner like you and me, he would have had to die for his own sin. But he didn't. He died for our sins because he was perfect. Amen. And what God is saying is that the moment we receive Christ as our personal Savior, that we put our faith and trust in him and his finished work, what that means simply is this, that Jesus Christ redeemed me. That's his work. But there's one more thought I want you to notice in this passage. Because if you're looking at Christmas, you're saying, what's the gift in Christmas? What is the greatest gift? The greatest gift is what I'm talking about right now. This gift of a changed life comes thirdly through the adoption by the Son. Wiersbe says it this way, we enter God's family by regeneration, but we enjoy God's family by adoption. Think about what they're talking about here. There's a present relationship once I'm adopted into the family. I was thinking about, man, being adopted into God's family, what a privilege. Look at verse 6, and he talks about that. The Bible says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. There's a personal relationship with God now. Now, a servant does not have that personal relationship like a son does. If you're the Son of God, and every one of us in here, once we meet Christ, we are given full privilege as a son. We can now go to God, we can talk to God. It'd be kind of like if some of you were to adopt me. If somebody were to adopt me, maybe some of you would adopt me, and Brother Abelos, he would adopt me. That means I go in his house, give me a key of the house. Give me the key of that car. That's what I really want, yeah. That means I go in the house, open up the refrigerator. I can eat anything I want. I'm adopted. I mean, give me my bed. Carmelita, fix me something to eat. I'm hungry. Get the privilege? Think about what God does. You have a full relationship with God in heaven. You know, here you're worried about all the problems you got. You know the one that can take care of every one of them. You know the one that created this whole planet. You're worried about light bulbs. You know the light of the world. You're worried about food. You know the bread of life. You have full privilege. I mean, this gift of a changed life. You know, out here in the world, there are people out here that they don't even look at Christmas like we do. They kind of look at it like, I got to get this thing. I got to have that thing. I got to have this and I got to have that. I want this. I want that. I want to be happy. I want pleasure. I want all of this. For us, we say, man, we already got it all. We got the greatest gift. We have full sonship. I mean, what God is saying is we've been adopted. Thank God we've been adopted. My Father's the King. I'm a child of the King, if you would. But then we have a future reward waiting for us. He mentions that. He said we're an heir of God through Christ. That means that everything that Jesus has and ever will have, you and I are joint heirs with Him. We share it together. That in other words, if you might say it this way, heaven is yours not because you earned it, but it's a gift, and you're joint heirs with Christ together in heaven. There are so many things that God has done. By the way, that all happened the moment we received Christ. That's why our lives are changed. Not only our lives changed for now, but they're changed for eternity. I mean, the best part is knowing our eternity is all settled. And if something were to happen, I drive down the road and maybe a big tree fell on me and I died right then, don't feel sorry for me. I feel sorry for you. I mean, where am I going to be? I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm a good person, it's because I know the one that the entrance way to get there. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. And yet, at the same time, if my life goes to 80 or 90 or whatever the case is, as long as God leaves me, man, I could have a wonderful life here too. I don't have to live a life in sin and degradation and difficulty and struggles. I'm not enduring life. I'm enjoying life. You say, why? Because my life's been changed by Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing what God does. The power of the Word of God. It's amazing what God does in people's lives. This year, God's done some amazing things to the lives of people in this church here. And I'm very thankful for what God does. In just a moment, I'm going to call up some of the people that I want you to see what God's done in the life. The gift of a changed life, how God changed their life. I have the musicians, if you'll come right now at this time, I just want to mention and go through what God's done in 2012. Because if you're not careful, you'll not realize all that God's done. You may miss it. There are people who have joined the church. There are people that have been saved. People have been baptized. It's just really amazing what God has done. And I'm very thankful. And what I'm going to do is I call the name. I'm going to have them come and stand here on the platform if they would, please. want to have Nate Alvarez. Would you please, Alvarado rather, would you please come up and stand on the front? And I'm very thankful for Nate. Nate might have been one that greeted you in the parking lot as you came in. Think of Cynthia Mendoza. Would you come, Cynthia, if you're here? I don't know who all's here and not here. Ernie Kellen, if you'll come, please. Neil Lucido, if you'll come, please. She joined the church this year. Joanna. I can't say that. Joanna, please forgive me. Where are you? There you are. Thankful to God for Joanna, the blessing. We have Michelle Flores. Michelle's not here today, I don't think. I don't think I saw Michelle. Caleb Bonds. George Abre. George, come. We have Caleb Bonds. I see George Abre. We have Deborah Stewart. Ray Chavez. Ray. We have Jim Patchett, his family. Come. We have the Grams, if you'll come up. The Grams. Join the church. And the Vogel family. The Vogels. Are they here? The Vogel. All of these, God did something in their life this year. By the way, that's a changed life. That's the power of God. It's not our church. It's not Rick Stone Street, certainly. This is the power of God working in people's lives. And I'm so excited to introduce these to you. These are people whose lives have been changed. Not by me, but by God. Maybe some of you today, you might be here, you might say, you know what? I need a change. I need God to do something in my life. God can do it for you today as well. Because God's grace is sufficient for everybody. Let us pray. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, let me ask you a question. Why don't you decide right now that, you know what? The time to change is now. It's my time. I know that I need some changes, and maybe it's the fact that you just need to meet Christ. You've never trusted Christ as Savior. And God wants to save you today. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, with no one looking around, please, I wonder if there's someone today who would say, you know, I'm a Christian and I have something in my life that God's spoken to me about. I need to make some changes. I need for God to do something in my life too. Ask you to pray for me. God's speaking to my heart right now. Is there someone like that? May I see your hand? All right. God bless you. 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 God. Many, many hands. Thank you. Second question is this. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. You don't know that when you die, you're going to heaven. You don't know that for sure. Maybe today, is just as I was preaching, God was speaking to your heart, and you'd say, you know, I need Christ. That's what I need. I need Him as Savior. And I'd ask you to pray for me, because I want to know Him. God can change these people's lives. I know He can change mine. I need that. Pray for me. Is there someone like that? Would you let me pray for you? Is there someone? Don't know for sure that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I need Christ. Pray for me. Is there someone? God bless you. Thank you. You may put your hand down. Somebody else? That's me, preacher. That's what I need. I need you to pray for me. Is there somebody else? Now, in just a moment, I'm going to ask us to stand to our feet while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And just as we give this invitation today, we invite you to come if God's speaking to your heart, because it's so important that we make sure that we not miss out on what God wants to do in our heart. God wants to give you a gift of a changed life. Shall we stand together? Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, as you speak to the hearts of every person in this room, every person here who have a need, Lord, they've asked for prayer. For those without Christ, I pray you would save them. I pray for those who do know Christ, that, Lord, you would please work in their heart and work in their life. Lord, we pray you'll do something wonderful, something spectacular in their life today. Lord, show them the gift of eternal life, that they can have a changed life. Give them that, Lord, that what you gave 2,000 years ago, the understanding, open their eyes, they might know you. And then for those who are Christians, Lord, perhaps maybe there's a decision they need to make. I pray you'd work now as we give this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.